The Movie House in Millerton, New York, next Tuesday at 7 p.m. will be showing 1984, the second film adaptation of the George Orwell classic, starring John Hurt, Richard Burton, and Susanna Hamilton, among others. The film is set during April of 1984 in post-atomic war London, the capital city of the repressive totalitarian state of Oceania. Following the film, there will be a discussion and Q&A with Professor Roger Berkowitz, director of the Hannah Arendt Center for the Humanities and Politics at Bard College, where he teaches political theory, legal thought, and human rights. And to preview the event, we welcome Roger Berkowitz to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, Professor. Great pleasure to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks very much for being with us. So at what point during the discussions when they're showing these films do they say, oh, quick, let's get Roger?
That I don't know, but there's been a lot of media attention to 1984 in the last couple months, and another book that you may know has gotten a lot of attention is Hannah Arendt's book, The Origins of Totalitarianism.
Right.
It's been, as much as a book like with that title and that's 500 pages can sell like hotcakes, it's been selling like hotcakes. There's been a lot of interest in the book, and I think some of it misplaced, some of it misunderstood, but certainly I'm happy to talk about it, and I've written a fair bit about it in the last few weeks.
Indeed you have. So to what degree do you feel that it is misplaced?
Well, I think we have to live in the real world, which is part of actually the way to resist totalitarianism, and one way to do that is to insist there's no way, shape, or form we can think about ourselves living in a totalitarian state right now. A totalitarian state includes violence, disappearing people, repression, concentration, and even extermination camps. All the totalitarian states of the modern era that we know have had all these things. That's not the world we're living in, and so I think it's just very important for people to, you know, avoid the easy, oh, we're living in a totalitarian era. It's not the case. That said, one of the essential points that someone like Hannah Arendt makes in a book in which she's trying to develop and think about what she calls the elements of totalitarianism is that totalitarianism is a new form of government that had never existed before the 20th century, and that it is a government that emerges out of particularly modern conditions, and that it is therefore now an ever-present possibility. And in many ways, her book is an attempt to understand that and provide some sort of a warning for it. She says at the beginning of the book that her effort is to comprehend totalitarianism. And she says that what she means by that is that comprehension is the unpremeditated and attentive facing up to and resisting of reality, whatever it may be. And that is, to me, as good a motto for Arendt's work in general in her life as there is. She actually recites that line twice in the book, so it's clearly important to her. But in an unpremeditated way, in an open way, and an attentive way, face up to reality, whatever it is, and then resist it if need be. And I think that's why her book and work continues to be so important today, because she gives us the tools to do that.
So let's look at this. Let's look at this from another angle, which is, why do you think that people are going to Hannah Arendt as well as George Orwell in 1984 to find some solace, to find some connection to what we're living through now?
Well, I think there's good reasons. I mean, you know, Hannah Arendt in nonfiction and George Orwell in fiction, although we should also say that his essay on the English language, which is a work of nonfiction, is another essay that I wish people would read these days, are both trying to make sense of and understand the threat of totalitarianism in 20th century, and I think you can continue it into 21st century the world. They're doing it in different ways. I mean, Hannah Arendt is looking at two particular regimes, the National Socialist regime in Germany and the communist regime predominantly under Stalin in the Soviet Union. And Orwell is looking at what he calls INSOC, or English socialism. I mean, one of the things that's often forgotten is that all three of these regimes, two real and one fictional, are utopian regimes, and all are at least claimed to be socialist. We should say left-wing regimes. This doesn't mean that totalitarianism is a left-wing ideology, although some people have made that case. But it does, because there have been right-wing totalitarianisms as well. But one thing that I think is important to understand is that totalitarianism is in an important way an ideology, and it's one that claims to have the secret to make the world a better place, and thus it's utopian. And so there's a strong utopian element. But what it does is, in the name of this utopia, it tries to create a fictional, coherent world that will be more appealing and better for the majority of people than the truth. Because let's face it, Joe, you and I both know the truth is often painful, difficult, messy, complicated, and not adequate to the needs of human beings who want things to make sense. And so totalitarianism is a very easy and available way of making people happy, in a sense. And Orwell and Arendt both explore that. And so, you know, with the election in the United States of President Trump, and in other countries with the rise of what people are calling authoritarian, or sometimes right-wing, sometimes left-wing authoritarian regimes throughout Europe and in Russia and in Central America and South America, there's a worry that large percentages of the population in what used to be considered the liberal democracies, and some not liberal democracies, are in a sense abandoning the belief that democracy as a value, as the idea that we want to live in a self-government, non-authoritarian world, is a necessary and is the best form of government. There's a real sense, there's a World Values Survey came out a year and a half ago in which it showed that vastly more people now than 10 years ago around the world, and especially young people in the United States, you know, the people that are sometimes derogatively referred to as millennials, but I don't think it's derogatory, but many of them no longer believe that democracy is a core value in the country. And that's an important step. And on the other hand, you have the president, who has taken office explicitly as the head of what he calls a movement, a people's movement. He calls himself the mouthpiece of a movement, right? And for Hannah Arendt, in her book, The Origins of Totalitarianism, the first and most elemental fact of totalitarianism is that it begins when parties and interests are replaced by ideological movements. And so the fact that we live in an incredibly ideological age, an age in which people are turning away from traditional interest-based parties towards movements, does not make us totalitarian, but it certainly says that we are in a particular era in which the elements of totalitarianism, the movements, the fictional, the loss of facts, the derision of facts, the complete belief that the system is corrupt and what we need is a movement to cleanse it, that's there. And I should say it's there on the right, and I think it's also there on the left. But the right is one right now, and that's where I think a lot of people see the danger. And so I think it makes a lot of sense that people are turning back to Orwell and Arendt as two of the great and now analyzers of these totalitarian movements, and saying, what can we learn from reading and watching what they've said about totalitarianism?
Well, the Movie House in Millerton, New York, will be showing 1984 next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Following the film, there will be a discussion and a Q&A with Professor Roger Berkowitz, director of the Hannah Arendt Center for the Humanities and Politics at Bard College. Professor Berkowitz, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to speak with you again.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much. Again, it's themoviehouse.net for more information, themoviehouse.net. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.